Looking at Matthew chapter 13, looking at the parables that Jesus tells the crowd and his disciples in regards to the kingdom of heaven. So this week we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 13, and then 24 to 30. There are some Bibles that are spread out in the chairs amongst you. Feel free to grab one and follow along. Otherwise, it will be projected up here on the screen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" This is the word of the Lord. Earlier this week, Ruby met with one of our seminary friends, and she came back and told me what they talked about, and I was devastated to hear the topic of conversation. Our friend, she went to South Korea because she has a passion for human rights. And so she went there to help in a ministry the children of defectors, people that have escaped from North Korea, and they've had children. And so she went to help with that ministry. But once she got there, her boss cut her salary in half, made her work longer hours, and then it got worse, because she discovered that her boss was actually abusing some of the younger girls in the shelter. And so this man, he's a pastor, he's married, and he's actually well-respected among the churches in Korea. And so when I heard the story, when I heard about the injustice, the oppression that was happening, I got angry. But I also had a lot of questions. One of them was, how could he be someone who says he's a pastor and do something like this? And then I also wondered, how come God hasn't done anything about it? And then as I started reflecting on this parable this week, I saw how connected this parable is to the situation that is happening. There are two points that I want to talk about this morning. The first one is that not everyone gets into the kingdom of heaven. And the second point is that those who won't get into the kingdom will actually coexist alongside those that will for a time. And so before we get into the parable itself, I want to look at verses 10 to 13. Jesus' disciples came to him and they asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" In essence, they're asking, how come you're telling people these confusing stories? They have a point, but it's not a very explicit point. They kind of have to think about it before they see what the point is. And so Jesus answers them and he says, "You've been given the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but they have not." And so here Jesus is drawing a clear divide between his disciples and the crowd. He's saying, you as my disciples are in. You know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Namely, me, the work that I'm doing, what I'm teaching. And because you are following me, you believe and you accept me, you're in. But the crowd, they don't necessarily have that response to everything that Jesus has been doing. And so they're out. Jesus, he goes on to say that the person who has more will be given, and the person who does not have even what he did have will be taken from him. And what he means here is he's talking about this knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. He's saying that while the disciples have this knowledge, more will be given to them. The more that they follow Jesus, the more that they grow in their relationship with him, they'll find out more and more what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Whereas those that don't have the knowledge, whereas the ones that maybe just heard but chose to not believe it or chose to reject it, even what little that they may have had will be taken away from them. It's kind of reminiscent of what we talked about last week in the parable of the sower, the seed that bounces on the hard ground and then gets taken away by the devil. So Jesus speaks in parables because he's drawing a line between those that are in and those that are out of the kingdom of heaven. Those that understand, the ones that receive and accept his message for what it is, they're in the kingdom. But those that hear his message, the ones that don't understand, the ones that reject it, they're out of the kingdom. I want to clarify what it means to understand here. It doesn't mean that if you have questions, like if you're just unclear about what Jesus is saying, if you're not rejected. You're not necessarily out of the kingdom for having questions, for trying to think about what Jesus was saying. What it means to not understand is to have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is and what his ministry is like. For example, the Pharisees, who time and time again saw Jesus forgiving sinners, eating meals with sinners, and would say, "How could you eat with such unclean people?" Or when Jesus' disciples start picking the grain on the Sabbath and they eat it and they say, "Why are you not following the laws of the Sabbath?" Or there are those people when Jesus was in his hometown and he was teaching, they looked at him and said, "Who does this guy think he is? Is he not just a carpenter's son? What does he know?" Or this could refer to the people that hear Jesus' message of repentance, of how we need to turn from our wicked ways, and they say, "No, I'm good. I don't need that." These are the ones who are out of the kingdom. And the truth and the reality is that not everyone in this world is going to make it into heaven. And I don't know if that shocks you, but when I first heard that, I was very uncomfortable. If you ask Ruby, she'll tell you that I'm kind of like a blindly ideal or blindly positive person. I just really like to look at the bright side of things. I don't always have a reason for doing that, but I do. I like to look at the bright side of things. So when I grew up in church, when I heard about God, when I heard about the sacrifice of Jesus, how he died for the world, you know, John 3:16, "For God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son." I had this idea that form in my mind that, you know, everyone's going to go to heaven. You know, God will have a way to make it work out. But as I started to study the Bible more, I realized that that's not what the Bible teaches. And it shook me to come to realize the truth that not everyone gets into heaven. There are those that do get in, and there are those that don't. And the parable that Jesus tells here reinforces that point. So let's take a look at the parable. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while he was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then he disappeared. After a while, the weeds and the wheat, they both grow, And the servants see the weeds among the wheat, and they're like, where did they come from? And Jesus said it was an enemy who did it. Jesus will go on and he'll explain this parable in Matthew chapter 13, verses 37 to 43. And he'll describe the man that sows the good seed as the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons or the people of the kingdom of heaven. The enemy in the parable is the devil. The weeds are the children of his kingdom. The harvest is at the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. And so when we combine the parable with Jesus' explanation, this is what we get. Jesus came into the world to sow the good seed. He came into the world to bring people into his kingdom. Those that receive his message and accept him belong to him. However, the devil is working in secret to kind of usurp what Jesus is doing. And the devil is sowing his own seed, his own influence in the world. And he is bringing people into his kingdom as well. So the servants ask a question, and it's a really reasonable question. They say, didn't you use good seed? And we might kind of ask that question too. If we look at this parable and we read that Jesus came into the world and he was sowing good seed, how come when we look at the world now, there are so many evil people? Why are there weeds in the world? And Jesus gives the answer to that. He says there's an enemy. And I don't want us to forget this reality, that there is a powerful enemy working against God and working against us. See, growing up in the church, being a Christian, coming here every Sunday, we hear about God, we hear about Jesus. When we go home during the week, there's probably people in our lives that will remind us, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? And so it's not very easy to forget about God, but it's very easy to forget about the devil. Like in this past week, how many times did you think about what the devil was doing? And the devil actually likes to operate that way. He loves operating in secret. In the parable, it said that when everyone was sleeping, that's when he went and sowed his seeds. The Bible warns us through and through to be on guard against the devil. But I feel like that is something that is lacking in the church today. If you look back to the story of Genesis, if you're familiar, the story of Cain and Abel, Adam's sons. Cain was jealous when God accepted his brother's offering. And so he started to plot against his own brother. And God actually warns Cain. In Genesis, he says, if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And 1 Peter 5:8 also tells us, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Jesus, as he taught us the Lord's Prayer, you know how it concludes, right? It concludes with asking for deliverance from temptation and protection from the evil one. Jesus doesn't just throw that in there casually. It's because he really wants us to be praying for that. He wants us to be praying to be guarded from the devil's attacks. There's another interesting question that comes out of this parable. I don't know if you caught it, but if you've ever planted something and it starts to grow, you would probably notice if something else was growing alongside what you planted. And so the question is, why didn't anyone realize that there were weeds among the wheat? The reason that they weren't able to pull the weeds out was because the weeds had already grown so much that their roots became intertwined with the roots of the wheat. And if they pulled out the weeds, it would risk destroying the wheat as well. Well, the reason is because the weeds, when they were first growing, they couldn't be differentiated from the wheat. They both looked the same. And it wasn't until much later that the weeds started producing these leaves. It was only then that they were identified. And what this shows us is that it's not always possible to tell who is in the kingdom of heaven versus who is in the kingdom of the devil. You know, there are people in this world that do really good things. They give a lot of their money to charity. They support the homeless. They fight for social justice issues. They're really nice people. But that doesn't mean they're in the kingdom of heaven. Then you have pastors, priests, members of the church who you would think belong to the kingdom of God. But some of these men and women abuse their power and they use it to hurt those that are under their care. So it's not always easy to tell who is in the kingdom of heaven compared to who is in the kingdom of the evil one. And what God, what this parable tells us, is that both will coexist. Both those that belong in his kingdom and those that belong in the kingdom of the evil one will coexist. See, God is not willing to destroy all the evil ones yet. And the reason that he gives for that is because he doesn't want to risk destroying those that belong to his kingdom. And so he's delaying his final judgment until the end times. But remember that there is going to be an end time. There will be a time when evil will no longer exist alongside the good. And when that time comes, he'll send forth his angels and he'll tell them to separate the two. And this part is really interesting as well. Because if you look at the parable, in verse 30, he says, "At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to do a big cleaning project around the house or around your room, like you want to get rid of some clutter, what's the first thing you do? The first thing I do, and I think most people do this, is they set aside the things that they want to keep. Right, when Ruby and I were moving up here to Toronto, we had an A-list and a B-list of our things. The A-list were all the things that we absolutely needed to bring. You know, for Ruby, that was like some of her books, her puzzles. For me, it was my computer, my monitor, my games. And the B-list were things that we wanted to bring, but if there was no room, we could live without. So when you're trying to sort the things that you want to keep versus the things you want to get rid of, normally you would take the things that you want to keep and you set those aside. But the instructions that Jesus gives to the angels is, sort out the weeds first. Sort the things that I don't want first and get rid of them. This represents the divine judgment that awaits all of those that have rejected him. You know, Jesus is saying, find all of the ones that don't belong and cast them out. He pronounces judgment on these people. It's one way or the other. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground when it comes to these two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of heaven and you're going to be with Jesus, or you're in the kingdom of the evil one and you'll be thrown into the fire to suffer for eternity. And so what does this mean for us? Well, first I want you to think about what your reaction is when you hear this message. How do you react when you hear that not everyone is going into heaven? Do you accept that that's God's plan? Do you have peace with that? Or do you reject that truth? Do you think that, no, there's got to be a better way? I want you to be careful, because your reaction to Jesus' message reveals which kingdom you belong to. Remember, Jesus said it clearly, those that understand and receive what I say, they are part of my kingdom. Those that don't understand, those that reject what I say, do not belong to my kingdom. So I want you to think about, how do you react to this message? The second thing is I want us to remember that it's really hard to differentiate who belongs to which kingdom, at least until we start seeing the fruits that they bear. And that's to mean that we shouldn't automatically assume that everyone who goes to church or everyone who calls himself a Christian is automatically in the kingdom of God. I shared that story in the beginning about the pastor in Korea. The fruit that he's bearing is not reflective of the kingdom of God. In fact, it's reflective of the kingdom of the evil one. So remember to be on guard against the evil one. Continue to pray for protection against his attacks. And also pray for those around you. Pray for those that you love, that they may also be under his protection, that they may come into his kingdom. And finally, I want us to remember to persevere and to remain steadfast in our faith, even as we continue witnessing all this evil happening around us. This parable demonstrates that the good are going to live alongside the bad. And we don't know when the end of the age is coming, but Jesus promises that there's going to be a harvest. And at that time, the evil ones will face judgment, they'll be cast out, and then everyone who belongs to his kingdom will be brought in. This world, as we know it now, the world that with each passing year seems to have more and more problems, it's not going to be that way forever. See, we as believers, we as followers of Jesus Christ, those of us who are in his kingdom, we have this hope that there's going to be a new kingdom and a new earth, where all things are restored and made perfect. And so cling on to that in the midst of everything that you see. Cling on to the fact that Jesus promises this future kingdom for us. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I admit that this truth is not easy to hear. That it's not easy to hear that not everyone gets in. And Lord, I pray for those that may struggle with this, that may question you because they hear this message. But Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them that this is your plan that this is where justice and mercy collide. You've made available the opportunity to enter your kingdom to everyone. That part is absolutely true. The invitation has been given to all. And it is the ones that reject your invitation, the ones that say, no, thank you, I've got something better, that will be cast out. It's not because you didn't want them. It's because they didn't want you. Father, I pray against the schemes and the actions of the evil one in my own life and in the life of my brothers and sisters sitting here in this room. God, he is sneaky and he is powerful. But Lord, you are greater than he is. And so we pray that you would protect us, that you would open our eyes to see how he may be deceiving us, how he may be leading us astray, that we may be able to resist. And Father, Lord, we pray that we may continue to sow the seeds of your gospel message, to take part in the work that you have already started and are doing, to bring more and more people into your kingdom. Father, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.